Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, this is the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglitz. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it. Hello, everybody. My name is Luciana Stiglitz. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. Today, our topic is channeling in a conscious way, and our amazing guest is Shelly Dressel. According to her, channeling is something that people do every day in their lives. They just aren't aware of it. When someone channels, they are communicating from one person's energy to another. We, as the human who is consciously opening to this, become the conduit. You can also create an alignment and speak with your angels, spiritual guides, loved ones on the other side, totem animals, or anything that has consciousness. According to Shelly, channeling helps you in many ways. You feel good when you have a deeper alignment with your divinity and the flow is easier. You feel good in your daily life. You can change your vibration because your thoughts create your reality. Your emotions are the expression of your reality. So behind it all, what is your reality? You can learn to speak directly with angels, with spiritual guides, with animal totems, and many, many others, including a more open alignment to those who've crossed over. The foundation for the five dimension and higher is living through your heart. Using meditation, you can open and focus your intention. A registered nurse, Shelly Dressel, first began channeling in 1995 as means of seeking a deeper connection to her own divinity as well as to that of the angels, guides, and teachers who surround her. She is a clear channel who is able to tap into situations from a soul perspective. This perspective is higher than the plane in which our mental activity takes place. Shelly's been channeling information, and it always comes from a place of love and acceptance. In the ensuing years, she's channeled innumerable angels, teachers, masters, and received unique words and phrases from the goddess of creation to assist you move into a deeper vibrational healing. Her ongoing classes include opening to channel, expanding consciousness, and creating balance in your life. So let me welcome Shelly and help me welcome Shelly too. Hello, Shelly. How are you? Thanks for joining us in today.
Hello, Luciana. Thank you so very much. I was listening to you as you were saying all those things, and it really amazes me how when and I think we all can stop and do this, when you stop and think, oh, yeah, that's true. There's so many parts of our day that we just take for granted or that we just do without having any intention or awareness of what we're doing. And then when you stop and think, oh, yeah, that's what you do. Oh, yeah. It just kind of makes you like look at it differently. So thank you very much for that absolutely lovely introduction.
Also,
and I appreciate you having me
amazing.
Here. Well, thank you.
Thank
you know,
for joining us today.
I was
so tell us. Yes, tell us what is channeling?
Okay, channeling to me has kind of changed in the perception of what it is. Back in the day when I was starting to channel, to me, it was that I became the link to be able to let guides or angels talk through me to give messages to other people. But in reality, what a channel is creating that, if you want to think of it as like a column of light, or if you want to think of it as a bar of energy, it's creating something that will allow you to link with another. And this is why I say you can do it with animals, you know, trees if you wanted to, other people, people that have crossed over. It's just creating that link. And each of us already have these alignments with our divinity and with other people. So to open the channel or creating a conscious channel, what you're doing is taking those alignments that are already there and then becoming conscious of it and beginning to work with it on demand, so to speak. That's kind of a long roundabout answer.
But it's very clear. It's very clear. Your explanation is very good. So how is channeling done in a conscious way?
So then when what we are all doing that are on this pathway that are like to read about channeling and read about the angels and read about changes taking place, we're trying to live our lives in a way that we are making conscious choices of the way that we look at the world, the way that we interpret the world, the way that we speak to other people. Sometimes it's those conscious choices about exercise, the foods that you eat, the textures that you have around you, the textiles. So in other words, you are making choices based on what helps you to feel good and is going to support your body in the best way possible. So when you become a conscious channel, instead of doing things like that intrinsically or instinctively, you are now, it's about opening up that alignment so that you can do it, say, on demand. I'm going to go into meditation, I'm going to open it up, and I want to hear what the angels have to say. Or I go into, you know, meditation is not always about just sitting in the room and saying om or getting quiet. To me, you can have walking meditation. When you're out taking a hike in the woods, you're actually meditating and communicating with nature. So opening up that channel allows you to have a more clear, distinct opening so that the communication can come through. And you do this by making a choice and by making sure that it's aligning with what you want it to align with.
And how do we know that we are connecting to the spirit world and it's not our mind responding?
So that's an excellent question, and I think that's probably the one that I hear the most from people. So as humans, we have our mental body, and we have our mind, and we have the analytical part of us. When, at least the way I teach it, you know, I'm sure there are other ways that people can teach it or people can create this alignment. But what I try to teach for people to learn how to do is to really have a very distinct alignment between themselves as a human and their higher self, and then even linking out to their divinity if they want to. So your analytical mind is setting up this foundation because you've trained it to. And it's setting up the, and it's creating a space that you have the intention that I am aligning with only that which is of the highest light vibration. So you give your analytical mind or the mental body the work to do, which is creating the structure, so to speak. And then you are using your consciousness and your emotions and the energy of you as the person and the link to you as your divinity. And that's what you're opening up so that you know you're getting clear communication. Some of the things that that, like, especially if someone's first learning, if they hear something and it doesn't resonate with them, meaning it makes them think, oh, really? Oh, does that, are you kidding? Then chances are it's not a high light vibration, because all of us as human already have in place a very strong filter that's going to tell us, you know, good and bad. And now if someone is very disconnected within themselves, that filter may not be working in the best way possible. But we're talking about people that are already consciously working on this and already are making choices to work on this, and therefore their intrinsic filter or their intrinsic belief or trust is going to help them out.
In your experience, how does difficult situation contribute to our opening us up to listening inside and listening to the spirit world?
How does what did you say? I didn't hear the first part.
how does the difficult situations we go through in life contribute to our opening us up to listening inside and listening to the spirit world?
Exactly. So good point. That actually works in two ways. Sometimes it takes people going through a difficult time in their life to begin to question, what is my purpose on earth? Why am I here? Why am I making the choices I'm making? So a difficult time can actually be the catalyst that nudges you into finding a deeper way to know your own divinity. So too, on the flip side of that, if someone is already in this flow and in this alignment and they know who their angels are, they're communicating with them on a regular basis, then when they do get into a difficult time, what's going to happen to them is that they'll already have that foundation in place. And so the love and the support of their angels will be more readily felt or more readily, it's always available to everyone. The key is that so many people don't realize it, or they don't know that it's there. So for someone that's already open, then when you hit a challenging time, you can say, okay, well, let me fall back here onto my support system of my angels, my divinity, my teachers, my guides, and let's have some conversations about what's the best route to go forward.
What are the benefits of channeling in our daily lives?
Mm-hmm. The biggest benefit is that any energy that you're linking with, and of course here we're only talking about high light vibrations, so any energy that you connect to is actually going to be going through you and filling you up before it goes out to anybody else. So that's like having a constant reboot or a constant flow of the higher light vibration that helps you to clear out, like if you have aches and pains in your body, having this high vibrational energy moving through you is a way of clearing out blockages that you may have, or just where there's not as much flow of energy, that can also be cleared out through this high light vibration. So that's one of the biggest benefits, is that it you heal yourself first and foremost, and then it goes out to other people. Another benefit is that it gives you greater clarity in your life. We as humans can get so caught up in our everyday reality. You're going to work, you're talking to your family, you're accomplishing this task and you're accomplishing that task. And you sometimes forget to stop and really acknowledge or communicate with your divinity. So by having that open flow, that open alignment, that open connection to your divinity, you're going to fall back on it more readily, and you're going to know that you are not alone when things happen. Because I think that's one of the biggest things that people feel, is that something bad happens to them, and then they end up saying, why did this happen to me, and what am I going to do, and how am I supposed to fix this? And so by having that support of your angels, your guides, your own divinity, you will already know, oh, yeah, okay, I don't have the answer right now, but I know where I can get it. Or I know at least the first steps to take, even if the answer doesn't come, immediately. I think that's part of the key, too, is even if you're channeling, and even if you're talking directly to your angels and your guides, you might get an answer, but it might not manifest immediately. Or you might know that you're in that flow and they're there and they're going to be speaking to you. But then, it may be that you're driving down the road and you see a billboard that has a message on it, and you just see the message, you read it, and you get that, how you get that kind of a flush or a hot feeling that goes through you. That's a cellular response of your body telling you, oh, hey, that's something to pay attention to. So it can sometimes come through as messages as opposed to just specific conversations, especially when you're starting out in that type of connection.
So for our listeners, can you explain what are the clairs and if we need to develop this in order to be able to channel?
Mm-hmm. So the clairs are, right now people tend to still talk about the four primary clair. And clairaudient means that someone can hear things audio, excuse me, when you think of auditory, you're thinking of your ears and you're thinking of hearing. So that someone who hears messages, and that's how they're receiving that. Clairvoyant is someone, voyant is for vision. And so someone who is clairvoyant is someone who can see things. Sometimes it's that you can see the energy around people. Sometimes it's that you can see, it's hard to say. You might see the angels. You might see where the energy is not flowing in a person or where it's flowing too hot and heavy. So these are some of the things that you see in clairvoyance. Clairaudience, I talked about that. Clairsentient, this is what my perception is that the majority of people are. And sentient means sensitive. It means that you just feel things or that, and my my biggest clair is clairsentient, although I have a little of everything. So especially as I was beginning to channel, since I knew that most of my information was coming to me through my senses, like I could just feel it, and I began to create a way of communicating inside of myself where I'd say, okay, I feel this. What's the image that goes along with it? Or I feel that. How would that look in this other individual? Or I feel it, and how is there any sound? So I would consciously create alignments through my feeling and what I received, the information that I received through feeling, and then create that alignment so that I could then see things better, I could hear things better, and now there is a lot of flow, and I can see things and I can hear things, you know, much more so than I did at the beginning. And then claircognizant is like when you hear about precognition, it's that just knowing. You don't see it, sense it, smell it, taste it, or anything like that, but you just know that something is going to happen. Sometimes cognizance may come in the state of a dream. Sometimes it may come in an inner knowing. Like say you're driving down the road and you just have this inner knowing that says, turn right at this road, do not go straight. And then you find out later there was an accident that had occurred. And if you had gone straight, perhaps you would have gotten in the accident. So that's like a precognition that something that is about to happen or will happen maybe in the future, maybe it's not immediate, maybe it's days or weeks in the future. That is what claircognizant is about, is that inner knowing or that knowing that something is about to take place. In fact, as I'm thinking about it, I remember working with someone one time, and she had this dream at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning that her grandmother came to her in the dream and said, I just wanted to come and say goodbye. And they had a short conversation, and she knew that the grandmother had been sick, but then when she woke up the next day, she found that she had died at about the same time. So that was a claircognizant experience for her, in which the grandma came and talked to her. She just had that knowing that something had happened. And then when she woke up the next day and before her mother could call, she said, yeah, grandma's died. So that to me is an example of the claircognizance. So those are the four primary. And I have a little test, like when I'm teaching the class that people ask, and I'll be the first to admit I use it from what's her name? Oh, out in Hawaii. Oh, my mind just went blank. The angel lady, Doreen Virtue. So the very first time I was teaching the class, I was trying to make up a test like this, and then I found it in one of her books. So I figure, well, I'm giving her credit that she's the one that made it up. And it just happens to work really well because it taps into all of the four things. And when people do it, I kind of ask them to write down the two top things. And when you look at it on a board and you say, well, of the, I think there's 15 or 20 questions, of the 15 or 20 questions, I have 16 that are under sensitive, and I have 3 that are under this. And you can kind of see for yourself which areas you're strongest in. And then that way, as you're beginning to channel, what you can do is you can use those senses that you already know are strong. Then once you become comfortable with that, you can begin to use the other senses that are not as strong so that you can build them up and develop them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my sense of that.
So you mean that anybody can, yeah, so does this mean that anybody can learn how to channel?
Yes, indeed. And we keep talking about how the energies of the earth have changed. And so for a lot of people, they say, well, I don't really know what that means, because what is energy? Well, everything has energy. Trees, animals, grass, flowers, people, consciousness, unconsciousness, all of these things have energy, and the earth itself, Gaia, has energy. And all of that just kind of gets emanated, and it collects in what we call the collective consciousness. So this collective consciousness is like a matrix around the earth itself. And as the vibration of the earth continues to rise, we keep clearing out that matrix. We keep clearing out the heavy third dimensional vibration. So back when I was first learning this, I felt like I had to do this step and this step and this step, you know, like 4 or 5 steps that would allow me to be able to channel the energies. And even then, I did it for like 2 or 3 years without really even telling anyone I was doing it, because I didn't trust it. So because the collective consciousness is cleared out so much, which has allowed the vibration of the earth to rise into the fifth and sixth dimensions, it makes it much easier for everyone to just intrinsically be in that space where they can open up and have that communication from their angels and their guides. So that's why I say, and even, you know, as throughout history, anyone could always learn how to do this. It's about, do you have a belief system that says, no, you can't do it, only, you know, someone else can do it? Or do you have a belief system that says, I might be sensitive, but I don't trust myself? So you work with your belief systems to clear out anything that might be holding you back. And then you work with creating a way in which you know in your heart, because it feels right. I mean, when I channel, I don't go through any specific steps of setting it up, because it's always there and it's always turned on. I mean, I take that back. There are times when I'm wide open, mm-hmm. and there are times when I kind of narrow it down, because I don't want to be in that overstimulated place. But for someone who's learning, you know, you take these steps and then you say, okay, I'm setting up my steps, therefore I know I'm safe and I'm secure. So a lot of times, especially at the beginning, we might insulate the channel, or we might set up a column of light that is, you know, only allows in high light vibration. And that's what gives the mental body, again, going back to the mental body, the sense of security, or the sense of well-being that, oh, okay, I'm in a safe place with this. If I'm working with people that I haven't worked with before and I know they're kind of anxious, they don't know what's happening, I'll go ahead and set up that that energy. It's like a bubble, and that gives them that sense of confidence.
Mm-hmm. So for our listeners, what does the term higher self mean?
Okay. We, as the people that we are, have our soul. And our soul is our God source. That when we talk about, you know, you never die, it's because you, as your soul, never dies. It goes on and on and on. And it is from your soul that you have the lifetimes that you have. Sometimes you repeat similar lifetimes. Sometimes they're completely different. Lifetimes may be out in the universe, and lifetimes may be here on Earth. So that is like you think of yourself as a human at one end of the cord of light that binds you to your soul, and then your soul is at the other end of that. So your higher self is the place in which, oh, okay, and let me just say too, your soul vibrates at such a high level of vibration that it cannot come into the earth plane's level of vibration. So what your higher self does is it takes that vibration of your divinity and it steps it down, as one way of saying it, or it creates a place where you as the human can flow your consciousness and can flow your awareness, and then you as your divinity can also come down, and it's like you meet in the middle. It's not always specifically in the middle. It flows up and down that beam of light that links you to your divinity. So your higher self is a place where you work on whatever it is that you want to manifest. Your higher self gives you that bigger perspective of your life, because you're getting out of your mental body. You're not staying in your mental body 100%. The higher self is the place in which you link with the other guides and angels. Or say, for example, when I'm channeling for people, it's at the space of the higher self that I'm connecting with others. And that's where a lot of times the angels are getting their information as they look at people. But we don't want to just stay at that higher level. It gives you, it's good because it gives you the overview. But then you want to bring it down into the practicality of your everyday. So your higher self stays there. It remains the filter. It remains the place of creation. And, you know, your higher self can become very cluttered. So when we're doing the teleconferences, they frequently have you clearing out your higher self. Think about something that you wanted to manifest or a dream that you had that you were doing all sorts of stuff to try to make it come true and trying to create it. And then for whatever reason, it just never happened. So all of that potential is still sitting there in your higher self. It's sitting there waiting for the right time to come into your life. But you chose not to do it, or something else came along, or you changed it, or you wanted to look at it differently. So by clearing out those old desires that you had or the old things you wanted to manifest, that's what allows you to have a more clear space within your higher self to now create something new. Everything that you do in life is created outside of your physical reality, and then it comes into your physical reality through your vibration, through your intention, and through working with your angels and the light beings.
Mm-hmm. So all this conversation had me thinking, I'm being trained to become a shaman. I've always been mm-hmm. close to nature, so this happened mm-hmm. naturally for me in my spiritual process. And since mm-hmm. my first initiation, where some animals came forth to tell me they would be helping me on my way, spirits mm-hmm. of animals like the puma and physical animals like the tarantula and hummingbird mm-hmm. and lately a rat, have been mm-hmm. showing up and giving me some advice and different things that they would like me to do with my life because it would help me out in different situations. So what, in your experience, are totem animals and what is their role in our lives?
So first of all, Luciana, from what you're saying, you were channeling those animals as you received the messages from them. So you may not have
right.
thought about it as channeling, but that's exactly what you were doing. Now, we all have totems. In fact, I was just considering this like about a week or two ago, how back in the 90s, the eagle was one of my strongest totems. And at that time, you know, what an eagle represents to me is that soaring through the sky, letting go of the energy of the earth and having that higher view of things. So what I was doing at that time was learning to channel, and I was learning to clear out my third dimensional energies. So that was a very important animal to me. There are animal totems come in every single shape and form. And when someone says, like you said, the rat is yours right now. So the rat has wonderful energy
yeah,
to give
that,
to
that
you
one
and
was
information
a,
to
yeah,
give to
that
you.
Yeah, that one was... Yeah, that one was last night, and I almost panicked because, you know, it's a rat. And you know that people have the idea that rats bring sicknesses and, you know. But when I actually tapped into the rat, she came with a message, and it was a very accurate
mm-hmm.
message for what I was going through at that time. So that's why I was wondering if we could explain our listeners why is it so important that we take – you know, all this information that we have from past beliefs
mm-hmm.
about animals in general, and how is it that totem animals can help us in our daily lives?
Right. So the totem animals work with us because they're also, yes, they're working with you by communicating with your divinity or your higher self, but they are also very physical. They're very much on the physical plane, so they very much work with you in your everyday reality. And some people have a totem that may be with them their whole entire life, And every time they see it or every time they get a message from it, they know that that's there for that reason. But the vast majority of people will have totems that kind of come and go. Like you said, the rat gave you a message last night. It was very pertinent. You may not ever see it again. But that was the form and that was the vibration to give you the message that you needed to hear. So what people need to understand, like say, for example, I was driving along and I saw a deer. I never see deer in this part of where I live. And then I was driving the next day. There was another deer. And so that was taking it outside of my normal context. So it made me say, oh, wow, let me go look at what the deer means. You know, I can always ask it directly and I can receive the information. But there are so many wonderful books that are written about animals as totems. And that gives you, you know, another perspective. So which is another thing, Luciana, that just occurred to me.
That's
whether
beautiful.
You're channeling, whether you're doing energy work, no matter what it is, everybody needs to trust in themselves. And even if you have someone who is the biggest authority about something, if they're saying, no, this is what you need to do or this is what this means, if it just doesn't sit with you, if it just makes you sick to your stomach, then it's not right for you, and they're not seeing you correctly. So let it go. Ultimately, come back to what feels good to you and what resonates with you, and in doing so, that's how you're living your life in alignment with your divinity and in alignment with listening to the spirit guides and the angels and all of those that are around you.
Right, and now that you mention angels, like totem animals have more to do, you know, with earth and with the earthy part of life.
Mm-hmm.
What about angels? In your experience, what's the role of angels in our lives?
Angels come in many different forms. The ones that people so often think about, especially at the beginning, is guardian angels. And they're there to literally watch over you, just like they're demonstrated in all the books and the way that people talk about them. Everybody has one or two angels that are with them from the time they're born until the time they transition, and those are primarily the guardian angels. There are other angels. The archangels are a different vibration than the guardian angels, and they are there with the specific intention of helping people to get to their next level of development, whatever that may be. So many times they're teachers, but they can also be healers. They can also be people that are just companionship for you. Then there is a whole realm of the cherubim. I'm not pronouncing that right. So in other words, within the angelic realm, there are many, many different types of angels, and they are different because their intention is different, their vibration is different. So what needs to happen is that people can open up to know that I have, like say, for example, I know now it was Archangel Michael. When I was first opening up, because my mental body would get into, oh, my gosh, Archangel Michael, aren't I special? Instead, that was just blue energy. So blue energy, you know, who is it? Who knows? But I just began to focus on it as blue energy. And what that was doing was the vibration of blue was helping me in the way that I needed it to. And then when I got past my ego portion of it, then I could know, oh, yeah, that's Archangel Michael. So the angels may represent themselves to you in different ways, and it's important for you to just know that, oh, I feel this consistent energy, it feels the same to me, then you're realizing that is, you know, a particular angel that's working with you on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm, that's beautiful. And I just looked at the time, and our 30 minutes are over. This conversation
is
really amazing. I'm so sad that it's over. Yes, but I was wondering if you have any Yes, it did. So actually, you know what? A little bird came around when we were doing this final part, when we were talking about totem animals, and I could sense him talking about joy, how this was a very, very joyful moment. So I really hope that our listeners are feeling this amazing joy of this amazing connection. And I was also wondering if there are any last words you would like to share with our listeners to close the interview.
Okay. I think that each of us, as we live our lives, I invite you to find a way to live your life with purpose. If you're just wandering around, you don't know what your purpose is in life or what direction you would like to go, then whatever it is that you need to do, begin by finding things that make you happy. Because as a society, we tend to get away from the things that make us happy because we're doing the things that we should be doing. So if you are stuck or if you're in a rut or you're trying to figure out what your purpose is in life, then figure out how to find out what makes you happy. And that's the foundation for what you should be doing in life or what your life is about. Because we're here to learn lessons and to have experiences. But truly, truly, I do not believe that we are here to live a life of tortured pain. You know, that's old energy that doesn't help anyone. So let this be a lifetime that is filled with potential, filled with opportunities, filled with joy, filled with determination to find that love and joy in life.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Guys, everyone who's listening right now, if you would like to learn how to channel, Shelley's an amazing teacher. So thank you very much, Shelley, for being today with us. And it's been an amazing interview, and we hope that we can have you back here soon with us. Thanks much for being here with us today.
Well, you're welcome, Luciana, and thank you so very much for having me here because, man, I could talk on this subject for hours. And
I know. We should make another one.
We will do so.
I know. It's so much your passion. It's really, really beautiful to have you here today. Thanks much, Shelley. Have a great day.
You're welcome, Luciana. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.